Please be seated. So just with a quick show of hands so I don't mess anything up, how many of you have already seen The Sixth Sense? Show of hands, please. About half, that's good enough. Okay, so at the very end of The Sixth Sense, there's this very cool part where Haley, okay, no, that's what I was looking for. There we go. Okay. I was wondering when the first face would be made in the, where it's like, oh no, is he about to spoil the end of The Sixth Sense for this room where half of the people haven't seen it? And attention, if you've seen The Sixth Sense, then you don't want to have the end spoiled for other people who haven't seen The Sixth Sense. And if you haven't seen The Sixth Sense and you want to see The Sixth Sense, then the last thing that you want to hear is the end of The Sixth Sense, because you don't want to hear the movie get ruined. Knowing what's going to happen at the end of the movie takes a lot of the tension and anxiety and fun out of the movie. It's not just for that. There's all sorts of entertainment, video games. If somebody spoils The Outer Wilds for somebody, oh, it breaks my heart. But there's another aspect to it too, right? The other day, I introduced my children to the movie Men in Black, which probably more of you have seen, I imagine. Quick show of hands, just out of curiosity. I'm a media guy, I have to know. Yes, Men in Black is more popular. There we go. So I introduced my kids to Men in Black, and there was more obscenities in it than I remembered, so I don't recommend it necessarily, you know, from the pulpit. But, you know, exciting adventure action movie. And so we watched it, and my kids were tense throughout the whole thing. They were nervous. I was not nervous, right? I've seen the movie probably half a dozen times over the course of my life, and I wasn't like, oh, I wonder if Will Smith's gonna be okay this time too, right? Like, I knew that it was, I knew the outcome. And actually, my kids kept looking over at me for like confidence. When there was a scary part, I could feel my daughters look up at me, because as long as I was chill, then that must mean everything was going to be okay, because I had seen it and I knew how it ends. So knowing a movie, knowing how it ends, it really does kind of take the tension out of the thing. And if we don't know the movie, then the outcome, or don't know the ending, then the outcome's unknown, and we still have that anxiety with us. When the outcome's known, it's not there. Now, as human beings, we have a tendency to take the unknown of real life. It's very low threat when you're watching a movie and you don't know what's about to happen, right? But in our own lives, we face that perpetually, where we don't know what is about to happen. And there's a tendency for us to then fill up everything that we don't know about with the worst possible things. It's the most human thing I can possibly think of, to take something that you don't know about and fill it with all kinds of evil and fear and uncertainty and concern about abandonment and terror, right? We look to the future and see something that's very uncertain. And so it cuts particularly deeply when we consider the hope that we have and struggle against a feeling like, okay, but how do I really know? Why do I really think this? And this doubt can be so loud as to be a scream that drowns out the hope, right? When we look at other people's lives, we say, well, other people tend to hold to the faith that they were born into or raised in, so how can I really be all that confident if I'm the same way, that I just happened to luck into this thing? What's really, do I have certainty over this hope? And our verses today do something really terrifying, because at first brush, it looks like our verses say, no, you don't get to have certainty. No, your faith is blind, and it's creepy to see them. But with a little bit of a read and thinking about them a little bit further in context, we realize these verses actually say exactly the opposite of that. We're looking today at the first couple of verses from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So we're looking at verses 1 and 2. It's nice and short. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So we want to have this certainty. We want to have this feeling that our faith is not blind, that it doesn't exist inside of a vacuum. And at an academic institution where we focus on knowing things and having a reason for knowing those things, the idea that our faith is blind kind of cuts particularly, cuts deep, right? I'm a science-y guy. I like to believe that the things that I think have a reason for me thinking them, and we see Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, and almost seems to back up this idea of a blind faith. And it's an idea that nags at us an awful lot. Because as I said, when we don't know something, we tend to fill up what we don't know with the worst possibilities, the worst things that we can think of. It happens when you're students, right? You're in classes right now. The outcome of those classes are unknown. Some of those classes, the outcome might be very unknown. The outcome of your graduation might be unknown. Even some of the fun things that we're uncertain about, we can feel some anxiety about. Am I going to make it to cum laude or to magna cum laude, right? There's that tension of not knowing exactly how things are going to go. And then, of course, you're going to graduate. Oh, man, this got way stressier than I intended. But you're going to graduate. And it's an uncertain economy. What are you going to do? Maybe you don't have something lined up yet. That would not be unusual. And there's a lot of uncertainty that you can feel anxious about. If you're in seminary, you're about to do something very, you know, anxiety-laden, where on call day, I don't know if all of you guys know how this works, but we do something where it's call day, and the graduates from the seminary and people who are receiving vicar calls come up by themselves to the front of the chapel, and there in front of the Lord and the congregation and their wives and their families, they find out for the very first time where they're going. We don't tell you in advance. Are you going to Iowa or are you going to Florida or to California? They come up here and find out at the same time that everybody else finds out. It's stressy. And of course, it doesn't go away when you're an adult, right? We face uncertainties about a changing world, right? We always talk about things like, oh well, the reality of our world is changing, and wow, that sounds really bad. Reality is changing. Thanos has the reality stone, and things are being altered. It's creepy when you're an adult even to think about, okay, how secure are we? You know, how long are we going to be able to keep a thing going, right? How secure is my career? How about my kids? How are things going for them? The amount of uncertainty in your world doesn't shrink, it grows. And in particular, for everyone, there's this great big uncertain cliff that looms in the distance where one day we are going to die, and there have been very few people who have come back from the other end of that to tell us about it. And then, when God's news tries to cut through, there's this mocking voice in our heads that maybe we're being stupidly optimistic, and that we believe what we believe in spite of all of the evidence, and that we have no reason to expect that anything is going to come out well at all. But in this chapter of Hebrews, which kicks off with the verses that we just read, right? In this chapter, God illustrates that our faith is anything but blind. It's the opposite of a blind faith. It's a faith that knows, and it's a faith that has seen. God doesn't just tell us that you should have faith in my promises in the absence of any reason for us to think that. In these verses, he full on brings the receipts. He says for by it the elders obtained good testimony. All of the rest of this chapter is him going through like Sunday school's greatest hits, right? He goes through Abel and Gideon and David and Rahab and Abraham, just this long, long list of these heroes of the faith, all of whom faced huge amounts of uncertainty inside of their earthly lives, who faced mountains of difficulty while they were here. And of course, as we know, God brought them through it, right? God was there for them and brought things to resolution. But even more than he worked inside of their earthly lives to bring their difficulties to successful conclusions, they had to have faith in something that they really had not seen, the answer to God's promise of a Messiah. They trusted God. They could look at their own lives and say, these were impossible situations. God saw me through. I can trust that he's going to deliver that Messiah for us and look forward. But can you imagine how Abraham would have reacted to see the depth of God's love for him in what he did with the person of Jesus, the teaching, the suffering, the crucifixion, the death? Abraham knew that the Lord had promised deliverance. We get to see that deliverance written out in front of us, how far God went to achieve it. So here's a little counterpunch against some of that doubt. What was Jesus for, if not to secure a future for you? That's exactly what he said he was here to do. That's exactly what he said he was here to accomplish. It wasn't, so just looking at his life, we can see that. It wasn't for his sins that he had to suffer and die. He didn't have any sins. His life was perfect. The mere fact that he faced that huge and extreme a punishment in history illustrates exactly what happened. We got credit for that perfection. And the punishment that we saw on the cross wasn't for his sins. It was for your sins. And it was for mine. The empty tomb, showing the sacrifice accepted. Are we really going to look at that and then at this juncture say, well, that's just God deciding that after thousands of years of showing completely steadfast love towards his people, constantly caring, always sticking to his promises, even when sticking to his promises cost the life of his own son, that this is now the spot where he's suddenly going to trick us and be sneaky? Nobody facilitates the death of their son as a prank, and least of all, the Lord God Almighty. Jesus came to accomplish something, and what he accomplished was your eternal salvation. And so we have hope. But it's not a stupid hope. It's not a blind hope. It's not a crossed fingers kind of hope. I have a hope of what's coming next based on what we have seen. I have a hope that's as certain as I was that Will Smith would be covered in goo at the alien goo, at the end of Men in Black, a movie that I've seen half a dozen times. I have the knowledge that at the end of my life here on earth, I will stand before God with Christ's reward as my inheritance and my sins paid for, rescued from a world of doubt and fear. Amen. Please rise. Dear Lord, we ask that you would be with us through all of life's uncertainties. Build our faith with trust in you. Replace our doubt with hope. And when we fear for the uncertainty of what is to come, direct us again to see the sight of your Son on the cross and his empty tomb. And remind us that beyond this temporary world waits an eternal kingdom of joy. In his name we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.